Phoenix, quarter past two, Wednesday afternoon, 1-2-3 with Mike Jones. Now, Gibraltar is a British overseas territory located on the southern end of the Iberian Peninsula at the entrance of the Mediterranean. It's been in the news very, very recently. The latest news that Spain has told Britain to remove its Gibraltar reef. I'm joined on the phone this afternoon by a gentleman, a former Member of Parliament for Thurrock, retired at the last election. He has got the freedom of Gibraltar, and I would say if anybody knows anything about Gibraltar, it's him. Very good afternoon. Live in Belfast now, we welcome Andrew McKinley. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Michael.
First of all, Andrew, can you give us a very, very quick, brief history about how is Gibraltar British in the first place?
Well, it's been with Britain for 300 years, and it was actually ceded to the British Crown by the King of Spain. And although the Spanish believe this is sort of a nonsense, they have to recognise in international law it is still valid. They're unhappy about this. But I think more importantly is that there's legitimacy. The people of Gibraltar have repeatedly voted to stay under the British Crown in a way which is absolutely staggering. I think 97% of the people of Gibraltar have reaffirmed their commitment to the British Crown. And in modern days, when people have to determine their own future, there seems to be no question that this is a matter which should stay British.
Would you, again, just for the uninitiated then, so British law applies in Gibraltar, and it's British policemen and British post office, that sort of stuff?
It's absolutely British in every respect. They have their own little local parliament, and they interpret and reintroduce the laws which are passed at Westminster in their Gibraltar parliament. And as you say, all the traditions of the post office, the police, is there in Gibraltar. They also have the Royal Gibraltar Regiment, which is a very serious professional force which is embedded in places of combat and conflict with the British regiments as well.
Some might say that we're only hanging on to this outpost because of its geographical position, but does that really apply anymore? Because it's the gateway to the Mediterranean. Does it? But there are not going to be any sea wars anymore. Do you really think that still applies, or that's a fair criticism?
Well, it's remaining British, in my view, because the people of Gibraltar desire it. And say, in referendum after referendum, they've reaffirmed their Britishness and decide to stand under the British Crown. But from the point of view of ourselves in the UK, it is in our strategic interests. In that rock, there are very sophisticated listening equipment, intelligence equipment. It is at the gateway to the Mediterranean. Although we don't have sea wars, as you refer to it, we are involved in combat situations around the world from time to time. Well, of course, Gibraltar comes into its own. It's an advanced place where we can get to our troops and our personnel, supplies, quickly into areas of either conflict, combat, or peacekeeping. So time and time again, Gibraltar is important from the strategic interests of the United Kingdom, and for that matter, NATO, which Spain is a member as well.
We've seen over, probably the last 15 years, terrible delays for people getting in and off the island with these long, long checks. They're playing games, aren't they? Both governments are playing games. Britain recently installed these 70 concrete blocks. They say that's for a good reason. Do you have any sympathy with the Spanish government?
No, because, first of all, the Spanish government have used the same technology of creating these artificial reefs all around the coast of Spain for good reason, to promote marine life primarily, to actually make better fishing grounds. But the problem is that Spain will never talk to Gibraltar. Gibraltar government would love to sort of share decision-making about this sort of thing, but the Spanish simply won't sit down and join them. So it's difficult to know what the Gibraltar government can do. Incidentally, the people of Gibraltar are self-sufficient. There's not a penny subsidy from the United Kingdom to Gibraltar. They've created enterprise. They're very successful professionally in terms of commerce. And, of course, the tourist industry is extremely important to them. But primarily, this artificial reef is to enhance and protect and promote marine life in this important area.
It's been reported recently that the Spanish are even thinking of restricting airspace, because at the moment you can just fly in and out of Gibraltar, no problem at all. That's the easiest way to get in. But if they restrict the airspace, then that, again, bigger problems. Can you see any end to this crisis?
Well, what we think is that the Spanish government, which, as you know, has got a catastrophic economic situation, high unemployment, etc., are using this sort of thing to try and divert criticism from them. I think that if there's a change of government in Madrid, things might get better. I mean, over the years, has been the aggravation has been like turning on and off a tap. So it gets worse sometimes, and then logic, common sense and law is sort of wakes people in Madrid up. And one of the things which I think is important that you should know is that there are no less than 10,000 Spanish workers going to Gibraltar every day to work. Just outside Gibraltar is one of the poorest areas of Spain. If the Spanish government closed the border, the first and most immediate impact would be severe unemployment amongst Spanish workers who live close to Gibraltar. I mean, it really is absurd. The threat to charge people something like £50 to enter Gibraltar each day is contrary to international law, contrary to European Union law, and I can't think why the Foreign Minister of Spain even canvassed the idea. I do take it very seriously that he did, you know, indicate this, what he was contemplating, but he can't succeed because, as I say, it is contrary to international law and European Union law. But of course, the threat is menacing, and even if he was to try and then lose in the courts, of course, it is a source of aggravation. So it is really quite dreadful that he's behaving in this way. But what the British government have got to do and the Gibraltar government is keep a sense of perspective. We need to indicate that this is wholly unacceptable, but also we don't want to aggravate the situation further. So there is a fine line for Whitehall and for the Gibraltar government to follow in this rather sensitive area.
There are vast differences, but we did give back Hong Kong. The Falkland situation is a similar situation. Do you ever see there's a chance that we'll just say, OK, it returns to Spain?
Well, no, I don't, because unless, of course, the Gibraltar people decided otherwise, but there's no indication that would happen. I mean, these people are more unionists, more British than the people in Northern Ireland. I mean, they are absolutely like sticks of rock with the name of Britain going through them, you know. It's actually ingrained in them. They overwhelmingly and consistently vote to stay under the British crown. Now, if that changed, of course, I don't think anyone would stand in the way of reunification of Spain, but it's not going to. Hell will freeze over before this happens.
Well, absolutely. And the dangers as well, isn't it? Because Spain is a NATO ally of ours. We're best of friends. But this one issue seems to be escalating and escalating. And it, as you say, it has to stop soon. It can't escalate much more.
That's right. I think, obviously, you need sort of strong signals from Whitehall saying this is unacceptable. In fairness to the British government, I think they are doing that. We mustn't aggravate the situation or give ammunition to sort of the rather nationalist, jingoistic attitudes of the current Foreign Minister of Spain. We mustn't sort of give him extra strength. But the people of Gibraltar are tough. They've endured hardship over the centuries, and they will cope with this. The best support which can be given is obviously for people to go and visit Gibraltar. It's a fun place. It's an exciting place. It's the gateway to the Mediterranean. You've got North Africa close by where you can have trips to. And I urge people to, particularly if they are visiting that area of Spain, to come along and demonstrate their support for Gibraltar by going to visit it, even if it does mean a queue.
Andrew, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. My final question is, are you enjoying your retirement?
Very much so. I'm as busy as ever.
And I know you are.
And I shall be going to Gibraltar for their National Day on September the 10th. And indeed, you may want to, we can talk about it again, perhaps on that occasion. But their national day is September the 10th, and I'm very much looking forward to joining friends and supporters there on this great celebration, which obviously has greater importance this year than other years.
Andrew, thank you very, very much for taking the time, and we'll speak very shortly in the very near future. Again, thank you very much, my friend. Thank you now. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
That was the Right Honourable Andrew McKinley, former MP for Thurrock, now retired, and as I say, he has the freedom of Gibraltar, and my thanks. He was finding in there live from Belfast.